Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. Now, I just know that you're here with bated breath, waiting for the joke, right? Come on, work with me, work with me. Okay, here's the humor, I hope. You guys got to loosen up just a little bit. It's okay. Thief is in a dark house. He's in this dark house and he's skulking around like thieves do in the dark. And as he's going through the house, he hears this voice. And this voice says, Jesus is watching you. Startles him. He's like, wow. Keeps walking, doesn't see anything. Then all of a sudden, hears the voice again. Jesus is watching you. Now, he's a thief, but he has a flashlight with him, so he takes his flashlight out, and he shines it around the room, and all of a sudden, he sees this parrot over in the corner who's watching him. Looks over at the parrot and says, I'm assuming your name is Jesus. The parrot says, no, my name's Moses. And he leans back and says, well, what moron names their parrot Moses? And the parrot says, the same moron that names their Rottweiler Jesus. It will work. I will get back to that, all right? But the initial purpose of it was to sort of introduce the word Moses into the story. Emily last week got Moses born. In the meantime, between being born and here in this story where he's wandered off to the mountain, lots of things have happened. He's been rescued on the Nile. He's lived with the Pharaoh's family. He's wandered out into the desert. He's gotten married. He's gone back to Egypt in order to lead his people out. He's saying that, let my people go. Let his people out. He wandered back out on the desert. He's walked over to rocks and tapped them and waters come out. He's pointed out manna and quail. And now he's given them instructions, and he's temporarily off the scene. Now, 40 in the Bible sometimes means 40. 4 times 10, 8 times 5, you can do the math. Sometimes it means 40, but sometimes it's almost really what it means is just a big, long period. A long period, longer than I really care to talk about. It's just a long time. So Moses has been off the scene from that section that Leanne read for a little while. Now, I'm going to preach mostly from the section that Leanne read, but there's a lot here in this second section that would be good for a different sermon on a different day, but you're not going to hear that sermon today. I'm going to focus mostly on what Leanne read there. I'm on page 78 of the Pew Bible, and this is sort of the God's reaction to what's going on down below at the base of the mountain. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once. Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I don't know if God ever uses a sarcasm font when God is typing out these words for us in the Bible, but if he were, that would have been using a sarcasm font. He's like, can you get these people? Can you really fully appreciate how bold they are? Because they seem to have forgotten something. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation. Not going to be the sermon today, but listen to what happens here when Moses talks back to God. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, Why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Then he goes back and reminds them of Genesis. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he had planned to bring on his people. This is the word of God for the people of God. I don't know about you, but when I read this passage, often when I read the passage, momentarily when I read the passage, I sit there and I get a little smug. I get a little filled with my own hubris, my own self-importance, and I say something along the lines of, boy, I'm glad I'm not like those Israelites. I've never constructed a single golden calf and worshipped it. Then I get to thinking, and I sit there and go, you know, that's not 100% true. That is not 100% true. There's times that I, like maybe one or two of you, go to worship at the kingdom of me. I get all so focused on me and my values, me and my core issues, me and what it is that I want in the world. Whenever people start talking to you and first-person pronouns start coming through, you got a problem. You've got a big problem. This passage, we could sit there and listen to this and say, you know, this thing happened 3,500 years ago. What on earth is Dennis going to do to bring this into our own time? And the answer is, we all, at some point in time in our lives, decide that we're going to cast golden calves and we're going to sit down and worship them. We're going to worship them in such a way that it becomes the focus of who we are. It becomes the focus of what it is that we're going to serve and how it is that we're going to serve in God's world. That was an interesting event that happened on Thursday morning in Oslo, Norway. Does anybody here know what happened in Oslo, Norway on Thursday morning? Bob Dylan. Very good. Bob Dylan got an award for the body of work that he has produced as an American songwriter. And I like a lot of Bob Dylan's stuff. I really do. I prefer to actually listen to him actually sing it into a recording. When he sings it live, I have trouble understanding what he's saying. Loosen up, guys. Loosen up. But anyway, there's one song that he sang in particular, which is sort of related to what's happening here in this particular scene that we have out of Exodus 32. He tells us that you can be focused on the Lord, serving the Lord, or you can be focused on serving the devil. But everybody's got to serve someone. Everybody's got to serve someone. That's the poetry that he offers us. And he's coming back and reminding us that we indeed do make choices. We choose many times who it is that we're going to serve or what it is that we're going to serve. Sometimes we let society drive us along in making those choices. Other times, we just sit down and just worship at that wonderful kingdom of me. We sit down and just take that golden idol we've made of ourselves and just sit down and worship ourselves. Because it's all about us, isn't it? It's all about me and my needs, isn't it? And the answer is, of course not. Of course it's not. It's rather an opportunity for us to understand, to stop and pause and ask us that question, what is it that we're serving? What is it that we're worshiping? Now, If there's 150 people here in the room, my guess is there's 450 things that we worship at least. Maybe more. Maybe more. But what you've got going on here in this scene is this forgetfulness on the part of the Israelites. God, this unseen God, working through Moses, has delivered them out of Egypt, delivered them out of bondage, delivered them out of slavery, has preserved and nurtured them in this wilderness experience, fed them, watered them, saved them from various nations who would decimate them. And as soon as something happens, something goes just a little bit awry, they're looking for Moses to come back and give them some help, give them some instruction about what's going on. They panic. They panic and they sit down and decide that we're going to worship at the altar of fear. We're afraid that Moses is not going to be back. They're going to worship at the altar of amnesia. They've forgotten what it is that Moses did. You see the words that Leanne read? She made the comment, this guy Moses, this Moses character. It's like they've forgotten. It's like they can't even really pull up a good memory of who he is. We're all at some point in time like the children of Israel. We're all at some point in time very much like them in the fact that we indeed manufacture from our own hands, our own devices, our own ways, golden calves. They may not look like golden calves, but they function like the golden calves. They are things that we choose to worship. Sometimes it's our work, our job. We can worship at that. And what happens? We forget our families. Sometimes we can worship at the altar of called security. We go there. And sometimes that leads us to be overly focused on fear and how letting fear define us. Sometimes we go and worship at places that are dark. We worship at the altars, the golden calves of sex, the golden calves of drugs, the golden calves of power, the golden calves of, you get the idea. You get the idea. I don't know that every one of those applies to everybody that's here, but my guess is that every one of those applies to somebody here. They indeed do worship at those various altars. So, how do we get out of this? How do we get out of the trouble here? How do we find ourselves, instead of worshiping at the altar of our own personal golden calf, what do we do? And what happens in the passage? Moses reminds us of the past. Moses reminds us of what God has done. Moses reminds us of God's grace and power. We also have the additional advantage that Moses didn't have, because we know of the image of Jesus. We know of the image of Jesus, but Jesus in Matthew is essentially the new Moses. Where does he deliver the new law? On the mountaintop. He's the new teacher. He's the new lawgiver. And in Matthew, Jesus tells us that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He points us to the right way. The joke at the beginning focused on the idea of the fact that Jesus might be a Rottweiler. But Jesus is not a Rottweiler. Jesus is very quiet, very gracious, very forgiving. He's not going to tear you apart when you make a mistake. He's not going to tear you apart when you make some kind of problem or create a golden calf. He just asks you to remember what you're doing and recognize what you're doing, because God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ and the grace that is there will transform you. It will transform you in such a way that you can be a different person in the world. You don't need to fear Jesus being a Rottweiler and being prepared to tear you apart. Rather, instead, you have the opportunity to know that God has nurtured you. God has cared for you. God has fed you. God has given you a relationship. God has filled in what needs to be filled in. Sometimes our need is very high, that we think we need something tangible like a golden calf in order for us to be able to understand who God is. But God continues to come back to us and ask us to understand who God is through words like faith, grace, trust. Words that are hard to see unless you can see them played out in God's world. The second Friday of every month, we go down. You go down in the form of people that are here. The praise band goes. I preach. Some of you go and serve food. You're showing people who probably have golden calves in their lives what it looks like for you to serve Jesus in the world. When we go down to the United Methodist Committee on Relief, we're showing people what it looks like for us to go out into God's world and tell them that their golden calves are flawed. What's your golden calf? Do you have one or two or three? I guess all of us have got something out there. Everybody here has one or two or three or five or maybe a whole closet full. And what Jesus invites you to do is to remind yourself of what it is and where it is that you might indeed be worshiping that golden calf. And instead of being in fear of being identified with that golden calf worship, God offers you the grace that is Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that is Jesus Christ, the example of a life lived that has no golden calf in it. That's the opportunity for all of us. Dylan asked the question. Dylan tells us everybody's got to serve somebody. Everybody's got to serve something. The choice is yours. Who are you going to serve? What are you going to serve? I would invite you to serve Jesus in the world, and I would invite Jesus to serve Jesus in the world now. If not now, when? If not Jesus, who? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you be with us today as we stop and ask ourselves the question of what is our golden calf? What are our golden calves? What is it that we worship and say that we hold sacred and holy in your world? And remind us of the grace that is Jesus Christ in the world. And let us be able to set aside those things that we might serve that are not the holy and the sacred. We ask this blessed name of Christ Jesus, and all of God's children say, Amen. Please stand.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.